So there are two big problems when it comes down to housing and two big demands from the public. One is, while Douglas does continue its sworn sort of vacant dilapidated properties within Douglas, the council and the state in general do own some properties that themselves are vacant. So this absolutely has to be addressed. And secondly, there's not enough social housing. And we've got about 250 people on the waiting list. We're desperate to get these properties occupied, take a significant amount of resources to redevelop and reoccupy these properties long term. So the most cost-effective and efficient way that we can do this is partner with the private sector, sell some vacant properties that we currently do have, give some families in the private sector the ability to purchase these homes, renovate them, do them up, partner with the skills in the private sector to get that done, and then use those resources to build more social housing that is desperately needed rather than holding onto an asset that we ourselves can't do up ourselves. So essentially, we've worked and spoken with every tenant in the street to get their approval for the program. This has to be a tenant-first-led approach. And what we're going to do is we're going to sell vacant properties and allocate these resources into building new, highly energy-efficient, really good, high-quality social housing units that will be able to last for the next several generations.
How have tenants reacted and what have they said? I imagine it was quite a difficult conversation to have. So how did they react and what did they say?
At the end of the day, what social tenants want and what they expressed is A, they don't want to live next to vacant properties. B, they want to know that they themselves are protected and secure, which is why we made sure we had a conversation with absolutely everyone to make sure that I, myself as a tenant, the chair of the housing committee himself is a social housing tenant. So what our approach is, it's tenants first, and we have to make sure that this scheme works for them. And if it doesn't work for them, it fundamentally doesn't work. So they were supportive of the idea that maybe they're going to have some young families living back there, because these aren't just a collection of homes. This is a community at the end of the day. And if you're able to get a community back into these homes, then that works. Also, what people are quite excited about is that everybody knows someone who has a housing issue. Everybody knows someone who struggles to get housing. So in the next few days, we're going to be putting out an expression of interest to build new social housing properties that we're going to go out to developers, and people are happy and confident if this money goes back into having tangible results to build another housing block in the light of our James Brown Williston apartments or our Peel Road apartments. So people are quite enthusiastic. People were apprehensive at first, but when you actually sit down to people, you can look them in the white of the eyes and explain what you're doing, you can bring everyone on board.
Now, obviously, you are selling 35 houses, I believe. So what are you hoping to get out of the sale, and what will you be doing with the money raised from those sales?
Okay, so about half of the properties at the moment are currently vacant. So we're going to sell the vacant properties first, get those in. That's a win-win. So the alternative would be to down those properties and rebuild them. The problem with going down this approach is that you end up, A, losing all of the value from a property once you destroy it, and then you rebuild it again. So that might cost maybe £500,000 in the process of both demolishing and rebuilding. But instead, if you sell that property, you're adding to private sector supply, you've increased the total amount of revenue that you receive from that, but then also you're able to build new properties. So it's a sort of double win. So we're going to take this money and we're going to build brand new social housing units, and this money is going to be ring-fenced specifically for the construction of new social housing.
What plans do you have for future housing with this money? Have you got land allocated? Have you got anything in your housing, your 10-year housing plans ready to go?
Our long-term ambition will be to see that the reduction of that housing waiting list all the way down, because there should be absolutely no one in a rich, wealthy society that goes homeless or has to worry about where they're going to sleep that night. So we're putting out expressions of interest in the next few days. Hopefully that this will mean that within the next few years, we'll have a brand new social housing property built. We're about to open up the Williston apartments, which is going to be extremely exciting. People are really excited to be in there. So we're going to be putting out expressions to build more social housing units. One of the reasons why we have to go down a more innovative route is because rather than waiting for taxpayers to pay for new houses, rather than waiting for government to build new houses, if we've got assets that we can use to do this, no one is coming to save us. We have to save ourselves. And this is an expression of a community self-organizing to build more social housing. So we're quite excited about this.
How are you selling them? I believe you're doing it in batches.
So what we're going to be doing is that each house is going to come up for sale individually. So rather than a large property developer coming in, swooping in, being able to buy a whole block of houses and sell them off, we want to sell them as individual units at market rate. So that if you're a small investor, if you're a family, if you're a private homeowner, and you had a bit of risk tolerance, you want to buy a property, do it up and get it done. This gives you the ability to do so. We want this to be as community focused as possible. At the same time, this isn't a first-time buyer's model. This isn't a subsidized model. The aim, to a large extent, is to get as many resources as we can in order to invest as heavily into social housing as possible. So that's the route that we're going down here. At the end of the day, what we're aiming to do is increase private sector housing supply, build more social housing, and get rid of vacant units. And hoping with one policy, we can tackle all three of these units in all three of these issues with one sort of measure.
So how will you be working with sort of like the public sector and the government, and obviously as well as the private sector, I assume too, if you're selling them through the private market?
Okay, so essentially we've got a great relationship, or building up a really good working relationship with the DOI. So obviously all of this will have to be approved. It will have to go through those checks and balances with the DOI. And what we're really hoping is for this really innovative approach that isn't just plumbing into government resources in order to get a project built. They're quite excited about a new innovative approach. No one's really done this before. So we're trying something brand new. The scale of the problem requires us to try brand new innovative solutions, and we're tentatively working with the DOI to get this project off the ground and get it done. So it's quite exciting, and we should see movement on this in the next few weeks. And there's this phrase of you cross the river by feeling the stones. And what that means essentially is we're going to be doing this experimentally, and we're going to adapt to conditions as they arise. So sell the first six properties, see how that goes, and if there are ways that we can increase revenue going forward or ways that we can adjust our approach going forward, we will take that. This is an adaptable organization. We aren't bound by rigid rules and practices, and we're going to try and do this in a way that gives the best value for ratepayers, best value for taxpayers, and gets as many people housed as possible.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.